Jesus said to his disciples, "No one can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are not you more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single moment to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothes? Learn from the way of the wildflowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown into the oven tomorrow, will he not much more provide for you, O you of little faith? So do not worry and say, 'What are we to eat, or what are we to drink, or what are we to wear?' All these things the pagans seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you besides. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for a day is its own evil." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus points out to us in this gospel passage that we cannot serve both God and mammon. The word mammon, sometimes translates into money, comes from a Greek word, mamona, which refers in a general way to all sorts of material goods and possessions, all those things that money can buy. What does Jesus mean by this radical statement? Is he saying that money and material things are evil, or that we should avoid them? Actually, I would say no. God created all things, and so ultimately, those things are good, full of beauty and God's own glory. But what does God mean? What does Jesus mean? The key is found in the word serve. Serving someone means that we are expecting to be repaid or rewarded from them, which means we put our trust in them. Jesus is stating that as we go through life, we can put our trust either in God or we can put our trust in things of the world. We can look for happiness to come either from our relationship with God or we can seek it in created things. Since there is only one God and everything else is part of his created world, we really have no other options. Jesus then describes what life is like when we put our trust in the things of the world. Full of worry, full of stress, things like our bank accounts, reputation, our careers, our health, our grades, our clothes, everything the future may hold. Material things are intrinsically unstable. They come and they go. Everything material will pass away. So when we put our trust in material things, we too become a bit unstable. We worry about them and whether they will still be there in the future. But when we put our trust in God, we are freed from this worldly anxiety, and gradually we may experience a deeper interior peace, a balance, and fruitful and creative work. God is both our all-powerful Lord and also our all-loving Father. And so it makes sense to trust in him more than trusting in ourselves and in our stuff. Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be given you as well." St. Teresa of Avila expressed this thought brilliantly when she wrote, "God alone satisfies." This is why Pope Benedict XVI wrote in his second encyclical, Spe Salve, he says, "A world without God is a world without hope." In the same encyclical, he tells the story of Saint Josephine Bakita, whose spiritual journey is an amazing and beautiful example of hope and confidence in God that alone can fill our hearts with peace and lasting strength. The story is about a native African girl. At the age of 9, Josephine was kidnapped by slave traders. She was beaten till she bled and sold 5 times in the slave markets of Sudan. Eventually, she found herself enslaved to a general's family, where she was flogged and beaten each and every day. From this, she bore 144 scars, and she had them throughout her life. Finally, in 1882, she was bought by an Italian ambassador who brought her back to Venice, Italy. Up to that time, she had only known masters who despised and maltreated her. In Venice, she heard about another kind of master, the master of all masters, the Lord Jesus Christ. She learned about his unlimited goodness and love. She learned that this master had himself accepted the destiny of being flogged, beaten, and now he was waiting for her at the Father's right hand. Now she had hope, not just the modest hope of finding masters who would be less cruel, but the great kind of hope. She said, "I am definitely loved, and whatever happens to me, I am awaited by his love, and so my life is very good." The knowledge of this hope redeemed her. No longer a slave, she became a free child of God, set free from all worldly anxieties. Eventually, she was also legally freed, baptized, and received as a nun into the congregation of the Canossian Sisters. This is the experience Christ wants to give each one of us, that we might trust him more and more and become free. God alone satisfies. He is enough for our hearts. If we seek his kingdom first, Jesus promises everything else will also be given us. That's Jesus' promise. But what does Jesus mean by seeking his kingdom first? At the very least, it means 3 things. First, it means obeying God's commandments, which we find in the Bible and also in the church's teachings, and which we apply to our own lives through the voice of our conscience. In the Our Father, we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Christ is a king, a ruler, and so those who dwell in and benefit from his kingdom should obey his laws. Secondly, seeking Christ's kingdom means constantly striving to get to know Jesus better and better through our prayer and meditation. Jesus is a unique king because he longs for us to become his friends. He wants to be part of our lives and to walk with us. Pope Benedict, when he visited the youth in New York, said, "What matters most is that you develop your personal relationship with God. That relationship is expressed in our prayer." Thirdly, we need to constantly be on the lookout for opportunities of how we are called to bring others closer to Christ. This isn't as hard as we may think. All we have to do is remember that God is the real source of happiness. And then, since we want those around us to find the path of happiness, it's natural for us to work positively to bring those around us closer to the Lord. Today, Jesus will renew his covenant to us during the sacrifice of the Mass. When we receive him in Holy Communion, let us renew our commitment to him and promise to make a special effort this week that we might seek his kingdom first. Amen.